Okay. So this event is now being recorded. We are screen sharing. I just want to make sure that we're being recorded. Let me just check. Yes, we are being recorded. Perfect. Okay. So, and this is our first event, and so we're pretty pumped, for us to all be here. Great. So what we're going to do, let me say this. This is, we want to keep everybody's confidentiality. When you introduce yourself, if you don't want to use your name, if you have a nickname or a pet name you'd like to use for yourself, you're more than welcome to do that. You don't have to say your full name unless you want to use your full name. And when we get to the people that we're remembering, there's another set of parameters for that. We'll talk about that. But I'm going to model this right now. My name's Wahida. I'm here in Philadelphia. My pronouns are she, her, and beautiful. The communities I identify with are African-American, heterosexuals, LGBT, faith-based. I identify with a lot of communities. And one thing that I've learned from COVID is that just how vulnerable we are as a world population, how vulnerable we are and how little control we have over things that are going on in our environment. So that's the kind of, I'm hoping people can model that. If we can say our names, where we are, our pronouns, the communities we identify with, and one lesson that we learned from COVID, and then we'll go ahead and get started.
I'll go.
Okay, great.
My name's Ed. I'm in Philadelphia. My pronoun is he, him and he. The communities I identify with is, every community, really. You know, I identify with all of them because I work with so many different people. And what I've learned from the COVID is that we need to be more mindful of what's going on around us, man. You know, you never know, you know, what's going to happen, man. You know, we have to be more conscious of protecting ourselves and the places we go and the things that we do, you know, because, you know, that's very important, man, you know, to understand, you know, what we're, you know, connecting ourselves to or places that we're going, man, because you never know what you're going to find. But I'm excited about this. This is something that me and my wife been doing for a long time. So this is something that we really want to do, man, because remembering the people in the beginning of this epidemic, man, you know, is very important.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Did anyone want to go next?
I could go.
Okay, Arlene.
My name is Arlene. My pronoun is she, her, butch. The communities that I identify with are LGBTQ, the arts community, great. Mount Airy, Philadelphia, and lesbian feminist community. What COVID brings to mind for me is my mortality, and I have an underlying health issue, and my wife has been really good about trying to protect me, but it's so weird to be protected. I'm not accustomed to somebody else helping, taking care of me. And but at the same time, people are inconsiderate out there, and they're not wearing masks. They're not keeping safe distances. And this is even family members, you know. I mean, it's just amazing that we're just so accustomed to certain intimacies, and then we can't have them right now. And that's a very peculiar situation to be in, you know. Like, yes, I'd love to hug my niece or be close to my sister, but I know I can't right now, you know? And I just hope everybody gets through this, you know? It's really
Thank
crazy.
Thank you so much. It's difficult. Yeah. It's challenging. We have another question later on about COVID. We're going to go ahead and let Ain, before Ain comes on, I want to say Ain is also working on a project with us. And I'll let him say, you know, just how he's connected with the project. But would you like to introduce yourself, Ain? Oh, you're muted. Let's unmute you. Okay, okay, there you are. Okay.
Hi, I'm Ain, and I'm a playwright and director, and I'm part of this project about eventually writing a play kind of inspired by the process 2 years from now. So still trying to figure out what that means. I'm he, his, and communities. Well, I'm in New York. That's where I was born and raised. And I'm a Jew, I'm an artist, I'm a gay man, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a son, all of which I'm having to be a lot right now, full time, including my parents are over 80, so I have them on lockdown and kind of delivering food to them and trying to keep them healthy. COVID-19 lessons, just which is relevant to today's conversation, how quickly humans become numbers in death and how much work we need to do to remember who are behind those numbers.
Thank you so much. Thank everybody for introductions and for telling us just what we're learning from COVID. We're going to move on, I believe. And okay, this is not cooperating. So just I need to stop sharing for a minute. Bring this back up. Okay. Okay, so we just did with this. Here's the overview of how it's going to go. We just did our introductions. We're going to do an introduction to remembrance. Ed's going to help with that. Then we're going to ask you to share what you remember. We're going to try to give each session about 12 minutes per person. And that's based on like 5 people being here. And then we're going to ask some input from you, some questions for you, what a memorial could actually look like here in Philadelphia. And then we're going to complete our compensation form. So it's real, real clean and crispy. And so, Eddie, are you going to take this one?
Yes, I have it. Remembrance, what is it? Remembrance is a multi-year, multidisciplinary memorial to Philadelphians and the HIV community. I can't see the rest because y'all on the side.
Yeah. I can pull that over. I can do that. There you go.
All right. By the William Way LGBT Community Center, and I still can't see, and
the John Wilcox.
And the John J. Wilcox Jr. Archives, in partnership with art activists and community leaders.
Yes, thank you. And I think there's another one here.
There are several components to remembrance. One of the components of remembrance is a community listening tour to gather untold accounts of community members living with HIV and AIDS who have passed
unnoticed
or uncelebrated. The collective stories we gather will be added to the John J. Wilcox Jr. Archives in a dedicated
portal
on the William Way LGBT Community Center website. The input we receive from community members will be vital to shaping a memorial to HIV and AIDS here in Philadelphia.
Thank you so much. And so this program, our team includes program coordinators, of course. We have grant writers for this program. We have a faith leader as a part of our team. Right now, we're here with our community engagement team, the Gatherers of Accounts and Legacies. We call ourselves the Gals. We also have artists for this team, and we also have a playwright for this team, and the playwright is here with us today, Ain. So now we want to stop and see if there are any questions.
Who are the artists? that are involved.
Great. So the artist is Alex Stadler. He actually did some work in the Stadler, S-T-A-D-L-E-R, Stadler. Okay, he did some work in the Renton Terminal. He's done some work. He's got, he has an award-winning portfolio. He's really done some good work around the city and across the nation. He's our artist. And he's actually created our logo, which we're not using today because I couldn't, it's, he PDF'd it and I wasn't able to get it on here. But he's creating the logos. We're going to have lots of swag, shirts, cups, ink pens, hats, things like that where our logo was on. And he's also going to do some other stuff as we get into the second year of our program. Yeah. But and he may join us at some point. You know, any of the team members can join in at any point. Aim was just one of, like, he's just the first one that wants to join in. But all of our team members may be on any of any given session that we give. This is session one. Any other questions, Arlene? Feel free.
No, that's it. It's for now.
Okay. Do you know Alex?
No, I don't. I'll be curious to meet him one day too.
Absolutely, I'm sure you will. Okay. So now we're going to go into the storytelling part, and Eddie's going to be our timekeeper. So I think he's going to jingle something like at about 12 minutes. What are you going to jingle? A whole bunch of keys. Can you even hear that? I can't even hear it. But we'll keep ourselves on. We'll keep looking at the screen. So what we're asking is, let me be clear about this. If the person you're going to share about was not open about their HIV status, then maybe you may want to use a pet name for that person. We're not here to out anybody that wasn't, you know, that wasn't already open with their status. But we do want to know. We want to know what you want the world to know and what you want the world to remember about that person. So feel free to use a pet name, you know, for that person if the person wasn't out about their status. Talk about their hobbies, what they like. Talk about their struggle. Talk about their relationships with their families, around sexuality, around their diagnosis, stigma, did they face violence, the resourcefulness, how did they triumph, or did they ever triumph? Those are the kind of things that we want to hear about. And so... this is where we bring you in, Arlene, and tell us, okay, do you have anybody in particular you want us to remember today?
Yeah, I have a couple of people, yeah.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, sure.
All right. The first person I want to remember is Gilbert Foreman. He was from Philadelphia and lived in New York most of his adult life. He was a balletomane, a male ballet dancer. He was my first romance. I was 17 and he was 20. And we were neighbors. And he really brought culture into my life by going to the ballet, going to the theater, spending time in New York, and eventually he moved to New York to dance, and I moved to New York to become an artist. And we remained friends throughout his life. He passed away when he was about 56. He was a wonderful entertainment guy that just loved going dancing. We went to all the gay clubs in New York in the early years before Stonewall. And he traveled the world. Some of his things were that he was curious and he wanted to see and do everything. And he did. I mean, he had numerous lovers. His triumphs. He was happy. He was a happy person. Now, unfortunately, I felt he had internalized homophobia. And once we were both out and being gay, he still had this fantasy of one day we would get married and have children. And I had to say, no, we're really not going to do that. I like being a lesbian now that I'm out. And he liked being gay too, but there was that stigma that he did live with. His family was very accepting of him. His mother was a great friend, and she came dancing with us at the clubs. I mean, we had great relationships with almost everybody in the family. And so there were parts about his life that were difficult. He definitely was drinking too much, doing drugs too much back in those days, and sexually wild. I mean, there were all the places that men could gather, and he was there, and it felt terrible losing him at such an early age. I mean, it's a good 15, 20 years since he died, and I miss him terribly. You know, he was a blast when he was there. When he was out, So he's my first story.
Can I ask just a couple of questions?
Sure.
He sounds like a delightful person. I wish I had known him. You said two things. You said that he carried internal stigma. Was that around his sexuality, or was that around the HIV?
Oh, it was around his sexuality. Mm-hmm.
How was his family? Did he have good family relations, or his family? The family that we have, the family we're born with, and then the family that we become a part of?
He had both. He had the family that he was born with, and the family of choice.
Great.
And his greatest supporter was his mother, and he showed signs of wanting to dance in his childhood, and she did not stop him from feeling that way. She encouraged any creativity. He was also an actor. In our high school, he was in all the plays, and he was tall, dark, and handsome, and I went after him. Because that was the world we were brought up in, with the values that we were brought up with. And then I realized that we were both gay, And it took a few years for me to actually accept that, even in myself. Mm-hmm. But he definitely had that yearning to have, like, a normal life, whatever that was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did he have any pets?
Oh, yeah. He and one of his lovers, when they lived in the art museum area, had Afghans.
Oh, wow.
And they were incredible. And then when he was in New York, he had these little black bulldogs that he walked. And, and he had a snake. He had a boa constrictor.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very colorful.
Yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with the book, The Little Prince, but I think he really related to that snake in The Little Prince. And so he had one that was full grown.
Wow.
That he fed mice to, on a regular basis. Yeah.
Great. I just have one last question to ask you about Gilbert. Did Gilbert ever recover? You said he drank and did a lot of drugs during that time. Did he ever recover from that?
He went to meetings.
Bounce back?
Yeah, he did go to meetings.
Oh, great.
Yeah, he did learn about that, and that it was really destructive to his HIV status to continue using the drugs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much. Did anybody else have any questions for Arlene about Gilbert? Gilbert was delightful. Eddie, did you have any? I'm sorry, Eddie. Just a minute. Eddie, you're muted. I'm sorry. Did you have any questions for Arlene?
Yeah, well, he sounded like he was a real fun guy. You know what I mean? It's just a blessing that he, learned about, the rooms. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't get that opportunity, man, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm in recovery too, and I'm just blessed, man, that God allowed me and, you know, showed me my way there. Because that lifestyle ain't no joke, man.
Yeah.
You know?
It's progressive. We all know that.
Right? Yes.
Yeah.
Great. Yep.
Okay. So Gilbert, we will remember Gilbert. Thanks to Arlene. Thank you so much. Yes. Did you want to remember somebody else?
Oh, I have a question. When sure. you do the portals, do you yes. want pictures of people?
Yes.
I have pictures.
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect. Great. So I'll make a note that we're going to get a picture from you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we have time for you to do another story because you only used looks like about 9 minutes, but okay. you get another 10 minutes on the next story.
Uh-oh.
And then we're done here. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I guess I there's a lot of people, but I'd like to bring up Joseph Beam. Now, he's had a lot of coverage over the years. Are you familiar with him?
Not sure.
He was the author of Brother to Brother.
Oh.
And he inspired the movie. And actually, I think I have his book here, too.
Was he from Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, he worked, I guess, when I first met him, he worked for us at Giovanni's Room.
Okay.
I was the co-owner of Giovanni's Room from 1976 to 1986. And he was one of our staff. And during that time, he surveyed gay black men from throughout the country and put out the first anthology of black men's writing.
Awesome.
Yeah. And he was beautiful. he was fun. He was very smart and really intelligent. And he kind of took Giovanni's Room by storm. You know, so he came in and created all kinds of new windows, displays. Mm-hmm. He was very much involved in reading the work of black women authors and being inspired by that. Mm-hmm. And he said, there's no books by black male authors, and we really need to have this. We need this for ourselves. And he was an incredible personality.
Yes, he was.
That is so awesome.
Yeah. And
so was he one of the first black people to work at Giovanni's Room? Would you say?
He may have been. We had a lot of volunteers, but mm-hmm. he wasn't putting up with that. He needed to get paid.
I know that's right.
You know, he was one of these people that came in and said, I love this store, but I have to get paid.
Oh, that's right.
And,
you sound like somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, we were all on like a pittance of a salary, you know, because we're just trying to make the store flourish and survive, mm-hmm. really. Mm-hmm. When we bought it, when Ed and I moved it and bought it, off of South Street to Spruce Street, there was like there were hardly any books out at all. And then as time progressed, we bought the building at 12th and Pine
yes.
with loans from people all over the community. And it became an international bookstore. We were selling and buying from all over the world. And, you know, and Joe was like, well, I got to get paid,
yes.
you know, and he was absolutely right, you know, and
yes.
we agreed with that. And he had some struggles, I think, about being gay.
Mm-hmm.
But he really wanted a relationship with his father. And his father mm-hmm. was a very quiet man from the islands,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he didn't know how to have that kind of relationship with the son. It wasn't that he was gay. It was just that he didn't know how to have that kind of closeness with a male child.
Wow.
His mother, Dorothy, was fabulous. And when Joe passed, she did everything to keep his name in the public eye, to honor his intelligence and his work. And in fact, she brought Essex Hemphill, another black male author, poet, into her house to finish Joe's second book. And so he had a home while he was finishing that book. And they just loved Joe and took good care of his writing. And I think that he really yearned to have a black male lover. That it was very hard. It was very hard.
So I said, who doesn't? I'm very sorry that came out of a place inside of me.
No, but he was like, white men were always attracted to him.
Yeah.
And he wanted to have that communion.
Yeah.
That heart to heart with another man. That they came from the same culture and understood one another from, you know, from deep down. And so I think that was one of his struggles. Let's see.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think other people will talk about Joe too. Yes. You know, because you know he was a major personality in our lives, and. Christmas time was always a difficult time for him, and New Year's, and it was his birthday time. He was also born around. Oh, am I over talking?
I think you can get two more minutes.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you, Eddie.
I mean, and he died like the day after Christmas.
Wow.
Yeah. And on his birthday. You know, I mean, it was, and he was only. In his 20s, you know, he could have done so much.
Yeah.
So he definitely needs to be remembered, and I'm sure other people will remember him too.
You have set this listening tour on the right direction. You are an amazing storyteller.
Yes, you said it all.
Thank you so much for the memory.
What was his name? Joseph what?
His name was Joseph Beam.
B-E-A-M.
Yes.
B-E-A-M? Okay, got you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Sunbeam.
Yes. Yeah, right,
I'm,
right,
I'm,
right.
I was thinking right. Jim Beam. I'm like, oh, no, not the guy who made Jim Beam.
No, but you know, Joe's father was named Sunbeam.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know so much. You are so full of our history. And we are so pleased to have you take this tour with us. I'm sure we're going to be calling you back and inviting you to other sessions, Arlene, because I know you know a whole gambit of folks because you were you took care of a lot of people in hospice and stuff like that too.
Yeah, I worked at Bitok.
Yeah.
Back in the day, and also I worked at We the People.
Yeah, that's what you
really?
Yeah. Okay, so we have a few questions for you, if that's okay.
Okay.
And the first question we want to know is, do you remember the first time you heard about HIV and AIDS, and what was that like? I mean, if you don't care to answer, that's fine, but yeah.
I think it was probably in the late 70s, 1970s. Mm-hmm. When it was being publicized as the gay disease.
Yeah.
And the frustration of the lack of respect and understanding for people who were living with the virus, and the fact that they weren't doing any testing and there wasn't any you know, yeah. it feels real similar to what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they blamed it on gay people.
Yes.
You know, and that was the really painful. And so many people had to pass before they finally got it, that it wasn't just a gay disease. It was, it was spreading throughout the world, you know? So.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
My next question I want to ask you is, do you remember the first funeral or memorial service of someone who died from AIDS? Can you describe that?
Well, I can tell you about Joe's funeral.
Okay.
The church that Dorothy Beam attended would not bury Joe. They were judging him, and she was so ashamed of her church.
Wow.
And they found another church in West Philly, and hundreds of people showed up, you know, from the gay community, from the African American community, throughout the city, people from all over the city. And it was very dignified and very fine.
Great to hear that.
Yeah.
Great to hear that. Thank you. How would you memorialize those lost to AIDS in Philadelphia? What would a proper AIDS memorial look like to you?
You know, it would probably have to be maybe like a large stone with people's names on it.
Okay.
In a public place, you know, in a, hopefully somewhere in the neighborhood or along the water, maybe in one of the parks, you know, where people could see it. And maybe there could be some pictures in it too, you know, kind of like the Vietnam War Veterans Memorial or something like that, like a real memorial.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. I can already see that happening. Yeah. Thank you so much. The last question we have for you, just that question actually came from the Pew Foundation, who funded this project. They want to know, has the current COVID health crisis brought back any memories? And you already alluded to that.
Absolutely.
Has it brought back any memories for you similar to the HIV crisis? And if so, you know, what are those and what is that like for you today?
Well, like I said earlier, the fact that the people who had HIV were blamed, you know, as being sexual perverts and stuff like that. Whereas COVID, it's similar in that our government didn't believe it would happen to us for some reason, you know. Like it was happening all over the world, but it wasn't going to happen here. And we weren't prepared for it. And we're still not, you know, like we're still not following any kind of set parameters. You know, like everybody just wants to break free and go out there and run on the beach and pretend like they're not going to get it, you know, which is very scary. But this is even more insane in that our economy is suffering, you know, that all, with all the businesses closing and although I guess
and that didn't happen with the HIV crisis.
Similar in that the baths were closed.
Right.
You know, there was all kinds of actions around that too.
Okay.
But the comparison is a little difficult in that this is a worldwide pandemic now. You know?
And there's no standard of care yet.
Yeah. And we yeah, no, there isn't enough tests out here for the populations.
Correct, right.
You know? So we're all potentially walking around with it. You know?
Okay. Thank you so much. You've been a dream. And we want to thank you. We did have a thank you slide here. We appreciate your open, honest sharing. And we do appreciate your contributions to this project, to Remembrance. And please spread the word for us. If you know, you've already sent some great names and contacts for us to continue to work with. So we really appreciate you. And now we just want to I'm going to share a link with you in the chat box. That will take you. Let me stop sharing. I think I kind of already put it in there. I don't know if you see it. If you follow this link and just fill out this form is just asking for your mail. It's asking for your legal name and mail and address. And the William Way, this will generate a payment to you directly from the William Way LGBT Center.
Well, thank you.
And so this link is only going to be live for about a day. Because,
okay.
You know, they're going to change them like a couple times a week. They'll change the link. So you may want to just go ahead and fill that out. And okay. We wish we could thank you in a lot of ways, but we at least wanted to compensate you for your time and for your emotional labor. And I saw a lot of labor, love in what you were doing for us. We really appreciate you.
Well, thank you for doing this, too. It's really important. You're doing good work.
Thank you so much.
All right.
And I appreciate that, hearing that from you.
Yeah, you take good care of yourself, all right?
Have a good day here.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, now. Eddie and Ayn, can we stay on for just a few minutes? Arlene,
yes.
You can go ahead and disconnect yourself.
Okay.
I'm going to end the recording now.